And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground on the radio all over the Southeast. I'm talking about also on the live stream, on almost every live streaming option you got available to you, including our website, rightsidemedia.org, and then a huge amount of y'all on podcasts. Listen, everywhere you catch this show, we love that. Thank you so much. It means the world to us. You're the only reason why we get behind this microphone. This is for y'all. Thank you so much for being there. All right, this is the time of the week when we go to this thing we call JP on sports, because the actual JP who sits here in studio is a guru on sports. And so we go in two rounds. He's got the first round called the three and out, where he brings us the top three stories as he sees it in sports. And then we jump on into the second round, and that's called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got 2 minutes per story. We time it, and we buzz it, and just see what all he's got. I'll remind you guys also, by the way, that JP on Sports is brought to you every week by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors, and I'll tell you more about them in a few minutes. JP, are you ready? Three and out, JP on Sports has the best sound effect of all sound effects in all of Right Side-dom. Play it.
I was about to say, don't forget my sound effect here.
Can't do that, courtesy of the sorority girls at Auburn.
Can't do that.
All right, JP on sports. I have a feeling I know what some of your stories are. Go for it.
Well, we got a big college football weekend this weekend. Big games. We got Ole Miss at Georgia, and then we also got Auburn hosting number 16 Missouri. And the third Saturday in October, except it's the second Saturday in October, but nonetheless, that's still the nickname of the rivalry, Alabama-Tennessee, is this weekend as well. So some big-time SEC matchups, also LSU-Vanderbilt going on the road to Nashville. I'm looking to see the Ole Miss-Georgia game, because there's been a lot of people saying Ole Miss is way too overrated. I believe they're currently number four. They just limped through Washington State at home this past week. And then also there's been some people wondering if Georgia is even legit. They dropped the game to Alabama. They had a lot of stuff go in their favor against Auburn, and they still, kind of limped through that one. So some people are figuring out, which one of the two are going to separate themselves.
Which Georgia's here.
Somebody's got to win. So it's I think the game being at Georgia, it may give Georgia the advantage there. But Don't sleep on it, because Georgia, like I said, they lost to Alabama at home, so the home field advantage may not mean much in the SEC. But also the Auburn-Missouri game, I don't know why, but my gut tells me Auburn is due for a break eventually, and it may just be a game like this.
Will there be new refs?
And I feel bad, because I feel like Auburn has gotten the wrong end of the stick on a lot of this stuff, so it's like eventually something's going to break. Night game in Jordan-Hare. Under the lights against a ranked Missouri team, where almost Auburn may be in a position where it's like, what do we have to lose? And just goes and plays a great game. So I wouldn't be surprised if that were to happen. Alabama-Tennessee, I don't know what to expect. I just think it's going to be a good game regardless. Joey Aguilar coming in, a really solid SEC quarterback. I would think him and Ty Simpson are top two SEC quarterbacks right now, honestly, with how they're playing. So it's going to be a great showdown of quarterbacks. And whoever's defense is going to get that turnover or two, that's going to make the separation in the game, in my opinion. So great SEC weekend of college football. I'm really looking forward to it.
So Tennessee's the one that lost our quarterback to portal, right?
Nico Amalivia.
Amalivia, that's right. They really haven't missed him much, have they?
No. Tennessee got the better end of that deal, because I believe they're paying Joey Aguilar less NIL money than they're paying Nico. And Nico, like I said, is playing like a top two SEC quarterback right now, where UCLA is 2-4, I believe. UCLA and Tennessee really traded quarterbacks. Joey Aguilar from UCLA went to Tennessee. Tennessee's Nico went to UCLA. So it was like a
that
trade.
That's crazy.
I would say Aguilar definitely is a better quarterback for Tennessee. And I hope he does not have the game of his career this weekend. I'll say that.
Well, I'm looking forward to the Battle of the Tigers, and I hope that you're right about Auburn having to finally get a break, because it's been a little tough.
I feel like this would be the one. Like what Texas A&M was last year at home for Auburn, where they got that big win against a ranked team. So who knows?
Well, they're down Alston. They don't have Alston, and I hope their offensive line shows up this time.
That's true.
All right, that's enough of me being the moaning Auburn fan. All right, number two, what you got? Number two,
MLB playoffs are still going along. The Dodgers are up 3-0 against the Brewers, so it looks like they're just going to walk into another World Series. Yuck. Anyways, Blue Jays, Mariners, 2-2, so that's a closely contested series. The Blue Jays were red hot last series against the Yankees. They were hitting out of their minds. And part of me thought, you know, whenever we see that in a division series where a team is just red hot, and the conference series afterwards, they just kind of lay a dud. But they haven't laid a dud. It did go down a little bit, but the Mariners are putting up a good fight there in the AL conference series. So it looks like we really only got one conference series. Who knows if the Dodgers will sweep the Brewers or if it's a gentleman sweep and they let them get one before sweeping them. But I would say it's pretty fair to say the Dodgers are going to go and at least have a chance to repeat in the World Series this year. And I'm hoping that whoever wins the AO conference series can beat them, because I don't want to see that.
Now that your team's nowhere near it, so that's...
I just want the Dodgers to lose. Yeah.
Just as long as the Dodgers lose.
Yeah, that's okay. Fine.
That's all that matters at this point. All right. I think we're blazing through them. That's two. What's three?
This is a crazy story, but I think it's an implication of things in college football altogether and the new era we're in. James Franklin getting fired last week from Penn State, I think, is a big...
Midseason.
It's a big deal. There's a lot of people out there that are saying, you know, James Franklin could never win the big game. You know, every time he'd have Ohio State or Michigan on his schedule, he would always lose those two. But the thing with James Franklin is he would always win the rest of the games. So he would always finish the year like 10-2. And in this era of college football with the playoffs, that's getting you a playoff spot every year. Okay, you go 10-2, you're in the playoffs every year. But the problem is, now, this year, James Franklin started dropping the easy ones, and now that's where you got an issue, okay? So if you can't win the big ones and you can't win the easy ones, then now we got a problem. But last year, James Franklin was literally a drive away from playing for a national championship. They lost to Notre Dame in a close, close game where Notre Dame won by a field goal and went on to the national championship. So think about that. Last year, James Franklin almost had Penn State playing for a national championship. This year, because he drops back-to-back unranked games, he is now without a job. That is insane to me. Now, I understand, okay, like, if Penn State for some reason felt like James Franklin wasn't the guy, now's your time to fire him, because now it's like, okay, he lost to UCLA and Northwestern back-to-back. Now they have a reason to get rid of him. But it's still a bit crazy to me, okay, because James Franklin, I would say, top eight, I think, is fair coach in college football, and now he's without a job because after he almost was playing for a national championship last year and had been at Penn State for 12 years, I believe, now he's without a job just because of those back-to-back losses. That part of me seems like that's a bit crazy. Like, we're jumping the gun maybe a little bit. I understand the fans at Penn State, the sentiments, they were getting really unhappy and they were chanting "Fire Franklin" at games, but I think this is a bigger, like, when this new era of college football with 50-something million dollars, which is what James Franklin's buyout was, by the way, like $53 million, wow. I think. Now, all of a sudden, somebody can just write a check, see ya, and we're only playing for championships. And this is, I think that's just an indicator of how much money is in college football right now, that you can just fire a top eight coach. Yeah, we'll write you a check, 50-something million. You know, see ya. I don't care that you played for a national championship last year. You know, hit the road. And but also, you know, Billy Napier, there's some reports that he may be fired by this weekend at Florida. Arkansas is without a coach. The college football world could have some – the Power Five could have a ton of vacancies this offseason. I think it's something to look out for. But I think it's crazy. Like, James Franklin – and I have a cousin who plays for Penn State, so I know how much, you know, he meant to, you know, the players. So I feel for the players, but it's just like I don't know. James Franklin being without a job just doesn't seem really right to me.
All right, so we got a little time for overtime. So let me ask you this. Do you see James Franklin coming to the SEC? And I also say that knowing that I think Hugh Freeze is on thin ice. That's not a pun, but anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, I feel like Arkansas is going to go after him hard, because Arkansas right now has Bobby Petrino as their coach again. Okay. If everybody remembers the history of Bobby Petrino at Arkansas years ago, where he wrecked a motorcycle with his mistress driving and ended up getting fired and had the neck brace at the press conference while he was getting fired. Like, that is the current Arkansas coach. So they're in a position where, like, we will take anybody, like, we will write a check to get this guy. And they got money. I mean, they hired Calipari away from Kentucky in basketball. They got that Walmart money. The Walmart owners and the founders are Arkansas donors. So I feel like money's not going to be a problem. I'd watch out for Arkansas. Auburn, my gut tells me that they're going to stick to Hugh to the end of the season. But also, who knows? In this world of college football where James Franklin just got fired midseason, who knows? So I think Auburn, if they were to fire Hugh, would be another team to look out for to go for Franklin. Florida, John Gruden comes to mind for me for some, like John Gruden, who's talked about wanting to get back into the SEC. There's just a lot of like fun names out there, but in terms of Franklin, my gut tells me somebody like an Arkansas would really go hard for him, and I think he'd do well. We saw he rebuilt Vanderbilt in the SEC, so I don't know. Franklin's not going to go without a Power 5 job. I'll say that.
That would be interesting. And if you want a dynamic coaching opportunity outside of some of the legacy non-SEC teams, then the SEC is the place to be. Mm-hmm. All right. I think that's it. I think you made it. All right. That's three and out. That's the first round of JP on Sports. That flew by. Good gosh, that flew by. All right. We're coming right back for round two, the two-minute warning. I got a timer and a buzzer. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower around here, y'all, like a superpower. All right, we're going back to round two of JP on Sports. It's called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got 2 minutes per story. JP, 2 minutes, go.
Here's another reason not to be fond of the Dodgers. So the Dodgers Foundation, they sponsored last night.
They some snitches.
Yeah, they low down, they dirty. Yeah. They sponsored an LGBTQ plus gala last night, and they honored Leah Thomas with the Voice of Inspiration Award. Leah Thomas, by the way, for those who have forgotten, was the male swimmer who swam as a female and beat Riley Gaines in the NCAA competition and ended up winning the championship. But yeah, the Dodgers, they sponsor this event along with LAFC, which is the Los Angeles Football Club, the soccer team there. They hosted this event and advocated for inclusion in women's sports. Obviously, just saying men should be in women's sports, essentially. This is getting some heat from Riley Gaines, Lori Ingram, very rightfully so, because it's in an age where it's like, I feel like we've moved past this, but obviously the pockets like LA and the big cities, obviously this hasn't moved on. But I mean, I think every time we see something like this, they'll get criticized publicly as much as it has. I think it is a sign that we are winning and they're starting to loosen. Because think about if this event would have happened in like 2020, how many people would have openly voiced their support? Openly voice their criticism of it. They'd be scared to get canceled.
That's right.
They'd be scared to be ostracized and banned on Twitter. It's a new age. So although this stuff is still happening, I think how much is getting called out and people are like, come on, really? Like, are we still doing this nonsense? I think that shows a sign that on the broad scheme, I think we're winning in this battle. But it is still ridiculous that Leah Thomas is in a dress getting an award for what's being a dude swimming in
sports. What's his real name?
I actually don't know.
I don't even remember now.
His actual name. Will Thomas is his
Will
actual
Thomas,
name.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
that's it right there. Okay, here we go. Reset the clock. 2 minutes. Go.
We got to see Alabama and Auburn basketball teams have exhibitions in the Boutwell Auditorium in Birmingham called Ballin' and Boutwell. Auburn played Oklahoma State. Alabama played Florida State. Auburn, this is the first game also with Steve Pearl coaching the team. Mm. Auburn dropped the game, though. They lost by 2 against Oklahoma State, and a lot of people are getting a little bit worried. I would say it's
dropped by 2?
It's an exhibition, I understand. And everybody's grasping at something in the college basketball world to, probably overreact a little bit. I think Auburn, Stephen Pearl needs to have some time to build the team. He became coach, 3 weeks ago? So I would hold off on freaking out just a little bit if you're an Auburn fan. Alabama won their game 109-105, so defense was left at home for both teams in that game. But LeBaron Fylon, who came back from the NBA draft right before the deadline, had 28 points. He was 8 of 12 from the field and had 4 assists. So it looks like LeBaron is going to have a heck of a season. Like I said, he could be on an NBA team right now if he wanted to, but he chose to come back and play another year. So I look for LeBaron to have a great year, just like he showed last night. Aiden Holloway also had 20 points in that game as well. So everybody, like I said, everybody's going to have these exhibition games under a microscope, but I think this was a lot, both teams just trying out, figuring out what they have on the roster and probably not playing as if it was the Final Four, you know? No. So, you know, although it may be fun to troll, you know, Auburn losing the exhibition game for an Alabama fan, it's, you know, just wait. You know, it's exhibitions.
So it's we'll a see. Nothing burger.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see. Bruce Pearl was courtside, though, at that game, so he's still active, very much involved. He's obviously an ambassador for the athletics program, so he's still plugged into Auburn. But I'll be interested to see how this team develops under Stephen Pearl. Like I said, this was the first time we've seen a post-Bruce Pearl Auburn team. And, you know, although they dropped the game, I think give Steve some time to work on, you know, the team a little bit.
Awesome. You came in just under the wire, so I can tell you no buzzer necessary. You had 2 seconds to spare. Reset the clock. 2 minutes. Go.
So – yet another story about this new era of college football. Michael Lombardi, who I believe is the son of, he's either the son or grandson of Vince Lombardi.
Had to be a grandson.
Yeah. He is now the general manager of North Carolina, who hired Bill Belichick this past year.
Oh, that could be a son. All right.
Go ahead. Apparently it's come out that Michael Lombardi, before this past season where they hired Bill Belichick, had a meeting with some Saudis about some money, potential investment into the program.
Oh.
So now this is now we have the Saudis entering the world of college sports, cutting college football. It's
going to have live football.
Yeah, but like that's I don't know how if, I don't like this, okay? I don't like the big oil money, foreign oil money pouring into college sports and having any sort of influence on schools, you know, because it's just that is I feel like I don't have to say how much of a slippery slope that is to have some investments like this come in. But now it's, you know, how many more stuff like this could be happening if the NCAA or Congress, for that matter, doesn't get out in front and stop, you know, stuff like this? But do they have any grounds to prevent, you know, investments like this from coming in? I mean, I guess schools can, I don't know the law specifically, if schools can just go out and fund from whoever, you know, and if it's just simply college sports. But I think it's troublesome, you know, because apparently it's estimated, I think I'm seeing $925 billion in holdings. The PIF owns the LIV Golf Tour, so it's the PIF who invested in this, which is the Saudi organization. I don't know. It looks like the Saudi money is what got Bill Belichick over to North Carolina, if you connect the dots here.
So now we have Belichick Gate.
Belichick Gate. Yeah, it's I don't know. Like I said, this is a bad look. So I think Congress and the NCAA need to get out before stuff like this
gets
happening.
2 minutes. What do we got time-wise? You got time?
1 minute.
1 minute? I'll tell you what, then I got to tell about Aspire Advisors.
You do?
I do. Good job, man. JP on sports every single week. Got the two rounds, got the three and out, got the two-minute warnings. It gives you the top stories in those forms and fashions. And listen, every single week it is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. So listen, a lot of y'all, I know you are out there, a lot of y'all out there are good at trying to plan for the future, set aside money for your investments, your retirements, but you may not be aware that some of what you're investing in are companies that stand for things you would never want your money being sent to. So that being said, Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors, they can help you. They can help you identify those problems and still get a good ROI, and they do it with a thing called BRI, Biblically Responsible Investing. They help you determine not only where to invest to get max ROI, but the where to invest so that you feel strong about who you're investing in. That biblically responsible investing, they can help you with it, and they can set up a time to meet with you, talk with you, just give you an idea of what it takes. Go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's www.moneypatternwealth.com. Inspire Advisors, sponsor of JP on Sports. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.